Where to now?
Machmaney's man said, let me think about that for a minute. Reacher kept the Malibu at a steady 60, a mile a minute, hypnotic. Power line pulls flashed past, the tires sang, the motor hummed. Reacher took the fresh bottle of water from the cup holder and opened it and drank from it one-handed. He switched his headlights to bright. Nothing to see ahead of him. A straight road, then mist, then darkness. He checked the mirror. Nothing to see behind him. He checked the dials and the gauges. All good. Eleanor Duncan checked her watch. It was a small Rolex, a present from Seth, but probably real. She had counted ahead 1 hour and 6 minutes from when she had hung up the phone, and she had 45 minutes still to go. She stepped out of the living room into the hallway, and stepped out of the hallway into her husband's den. It was a small, square space. She had no idea of its original purpose. Maybe a gun room. Now it was set up as a home office, but with an emphasis on gentlemanly style, not clerical function. There was a club chair made of leather. The desk was yew. It had a light with a green glass shade. There were bookshelves. There was a rug. The air in the room smelled like Seth. There was a shallow glass bowl on the desk, from Murano, near Venice in Italy. It was green, a souvenir. It had paper clips in it. And her car keys, just sitting there. Two small, serrated lances with big black heads. For her Mazda Miata, a tiny red two-seat convertible. A fun car, carefree. Like the old British MGs and Lotuses used to be, but reliable. She took one of the keys. She stepped back to the hallway. 11 miles. She thought she knew what Reacher had in mind, so she opened the coat closet and took out a silk headscarf, pure white. She folded it into a triangle and tied it over her hair. She checked the mirror, just like an old-fashioned movie star, or an old fashioned movie star after a knockout round with an old-fashioned heavyweight champion. She left by the back door and walked through the cold to the garage, Seth's empty bay to the right, hers in the middle, the doors all open. She got in her car and unlatched the clips above the windshield and dropped the top. She started up and backed out and turned and waited in the driveway, the motor running, the heater warming, her heart beating hard. She checked her watch. 29 minutes to go. Reacher cruised onward, 60 miles an hour, 3 more minutes, and then he slowed down and put his lights back on bright. He watched the right shoulder. The old abandoned roadhouse loomed up at him, right on cue, pinned and stark in his headlight beams. The bad roof, the beer signs on the walls behind the mud, the bruised earth all around where cars had once parked. He pulled off the road and into the lot. Loose stones popped and crunched and slithered under his tires. He drove a full circuit. The building was long and low and plain, like a barn, cut off at the knees. Rectangular, except for 2 separate square bump-outs added at the back, one at each end of the structure, the first for restrooms, probably, and the second for a kitchen. Efficient, in terms of plumbing lines. Between the bump-outs was a shallow U-shaped space like a bay, empty apart from a little wind-blown trash, enclosed on 3 sides, open only to the dark empty fields to the east. It was maybe 30 feet long and 12 feet deep. Perfect. For later. Reacher came back around to the south gable wall and parked 30 feet from it, out of sight from the north, facing the road at a slight diagonal angle, like a cop on speed trap duty. He killed the lights and kept the motor running. He got out into the cold and looped around the hood and walked to the corner of the building. He leaned on the old boards. They felt thin and veined, frozen by 100 winters, baked by 100 summers. They smelled of dust and age. He watched the darkness in the north, where he knew the road must be. He waited. Chapter 35. Reacher waited 20 long minutes, and then he saw light in the north. Very faint, maybe 5 or 6 miles away, really just a high hemispherical glow in the mist, trembling a little, bouncing, weakening and strengthening and weakening again, a moving bubble of light, very white, almost blue, a car coming south toward him, pretty fast. Eleanor Duncan, presumably right on time. Reacher waited. 2 minutes later, she was 2 miles closer, and the high hemispherical glow was bigger and stronger, still bouncing, still trembling, but now it had a strange asynchronous pulse inside it. The bouncing now going two ways at once, the strengthening and the weakening now random and out of phase. There were 2 cars on the road, not one. Reacher smiled. The sentry. The football player posted to the south. A college graduate. Not a dumb guy. He knew his 5 buddies had been sent home to bed because absolutely nothing was going to happen. He knew he had been posted as a precaution only, just for the sake of it. He knew he was facing a long night of boredom, staring into the dark. No chance of glory. So what's a guy going to do when Eleanor Duncan suddenly blasts past him from behind in her little red sports car? He's going to see major brownie points on the table, that's what. He's going to give up on the blank hours ahead, and he's going to pull out and follow her, and he's going to dream of a promotion to the inner circle, and he's going to imagine a scene, and he's going to rehearse a speech, because he's going to pull Seth Duncan aside tomorrow, first thing in the morning, very discreetly, like an old friend or a trusted aide, and he's going to whisper, "Yes, sir, I followed her all the way, and I can show you exactly where she went." Then he's going to add, "No, sir, I told no one else, but I thought you should know." Then he's going to hop and shuffle in a modest and self-deprecating way, and he's going to say, "Well, yes, sir, I thought it was much more important than sentry duty, and I'm glad you agree I did the right thing." Reacher smiled again. Human nature. Reacher waited. 2 more minutes, and the traveling bubble of light was another 2 miles closer, now much flatter and more elongated. 2 cars, with some little distance between them. Predator and prey, some hundreds of yards apart. There was no red glow in the bubble. The football player's headlights were falling short of the Mazda's paint. The guy was maybe 1/4 mile back, following the Mazda's taillights, no doubt thinking he was doing a hell of a job of staying inconspicuous. Maybe not such a smart guy. The Mazda had a mirror, and halogen headlights on a Nebraska winter night were probably visible from outer space.